Hi, welcome to All These Things Podcast. I'm James.
And I'm Artesia.
We're a married couple in our late 20s navigating life in corporate America.
One part auditor.
One part PR professional.
No kids yet, but in the meantime, we enjoy traveling, finding unique events, and plotting our next adventure. On All These Things, we talk about all things relationships, success, culture, wealth, inspiration, and whatever else is top of mind. Listen in and enjoy All These Things Podcast.
Let's start the show.
Are we live?
Are you live though?
Okay.
Are you just live? Well, anyway, welcome to the next episode of All These Things Podcast.
Hey, everybody.
I'm glad to have you guys here. It's Memorial Day weekend and it's really nice out.
I know. We were just talking about how, like, it is so warm and we've been complaining for weeks about how cold it is, but we are so happy that it's warm. But now God's like sizzling the earth. Like, it's about to be a scorching summer. We can tell.
It's about to be serious. But we want to kick things off, as always, with Be Better.
Be Better. If you haven't listened to the podcast, Be Better is our segment where James and I give you a quick tip or trick that you can take into your life to make your general life better, your relationship better, or your work life better. So I'll start. My Be Better this week is stay on the bandwagon. And I'm taking this from my own personal journey because I did so good. I posted on my Instagram about how I was getting up and doing cardio and I was meditating and I was getting outside and getting some air every morning. And I did that for a smooth 14 days and I didn't make it to the third week, which they always say, like, you need to do something for 21 days to make it a habit. And I dropped off at 14 and I need to jump back on the bandwagon because I was feeling really good during that time. Mm-hmm. I was feeling not just accomplished. I was like, I got some, burned a little bit of calories, started my day the right way. And I'm kind of bummed at myself that I like didn't do it this past week to kind of keep it going. So my Be Better is get back on the bandwagon. Do not give up.
Do it. So my Be Better this week is a little bit in a different direction. My Be Better is hold your own. Hold your own this week. And this is for all the people who are surrounded by people who make some faulty arguments, some things that just don't make sense, and really feel empowered to tell people what's really good. And I have two examples of that. There's a group that I'm connected to online, and they actually posted this video from Dame Dash. It's about a year old now, and in the video, Dame Dash is talking about entrepreneurship and being your own boss. It was on The Breakfast Club. I'm sure you guys have seen it, and recently it popped back up on Facebook. He's just going in on people who work for other people, saying that if you're not a boss, you don't have pride. Your kids won't have pride in you. You need to own something so you can pass it to your kids. And every point in this video, you can just find something that's just wrong with what he's saying. As if he just woke up in the morning and had $1 million to then create an empire with.
Right.
So when you hear things like that that make zero sense, point it out this week, because people are just getting away with murder out there with what they're saying and just expecting people to take it as law. You don't have to take it as law. And furthermore, you might be doing a justice to the people around you.
And injustice?
You might be doing the justice by pointing it out.
Okay.
Because there's just too many people saying a whole lot of garbage about entrepreneurship and everything else. It's great to be an entrepreneur. Everybody should be thinking about how they can have something for themselves, but it does not mean that you're garbage if you don't own something. It does not mean you're garbage because you're building towards something. So hold your own this week. Point it out.
That's good. We need to share that on our Twitter and on our Facebook page because that link is about a year old, but it has been resurfacing on Facebook. So if anybody wants to check it out, we'll post it on our social media. Okay, so let's kick off this episode with all things culture because, you know, it is it's graduation commencement season, right?
Yeah, it's just about wrapping up, which is kind of sad because I always like the speeches.
So tell me what you think about this. This is a true story, okay? A strip club in Harrison, Michigan is looking for aspiring exotic dancers. A message on the club's website says the ownership is perpetually searching for, quote, gorgeous, confident, and talented women that can hold their own on a dance floor.
Wow.
The site makes no mention of age requirements, but recently posted a big giant sign outside their building saying, now hiring the class of 2016.
Stop.
For a strip club.
Wow.
So people are going insane on social media and in the comments of the various stories where this is posted because they're saying, like, strip clubs should not be specifically targeting high school grads, that, like, they should, that the graduates should be being pushed towards more professional careers, I guess, or
you know, maybe they're targeting college graduates. They didn't say who. They just said class of 2016.
No, they meant class of 2016 high school.
You sure?
That's the impression that I took from this.
You know, maybe they didn't mean that. Maybe they didn't mean high school. They're just trying to, you know, they need people.
So what's your thought on this?
They want to make sure they don't interfere with school. Okay, so anybody who is not in school.
So thank you for speaking on behalf of them. But what's your opinion on this?
My opinion on this
is it right or wrong?
That is so bold. I almost equate it to like when you see those churches get into those battles with their boards outside the church and they just say all kinds of inappropriate things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a bit too much for you to put on your board. Now accepting class of 2016 or whatever. That's a lot. They shouldn't actually be talking to people like that. People who want to work at a strip club already have an idea about it, or if they're thinking about it, they know the opportunity's there.
See, that's exactly what I think. I was like, I don't think they should be outright seeking out the young women who just graduated from high school, because if you're going to end up working at a strip club, you know where to go to find out about that process. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's exactly what I was thinking.
We don't need a pipeline for the strip club. Like, it's okay. We can focus on the pipeline towards Google and Microsoft.
Yeah. There are some people who are saying like everybody is hypersensitive and that they should be able to advertise
within their rights to do it.
If any other job, if people were hiring, I don't know, social media managers, and they're like, hey, class of 16, we're hiring. They're saying that the strip club should have every right to do that and that the high schoolers should know every occupation available to them. And like I...
Look, they need to just stick with the right, because it's legal. It's legal to be at a strip club. They have the right. They shouldn't actually really say anything about it. They should just be like, look, it's an advertisement like every other one, and end the story.
Do you think it's an advertisement like every other one, or do you think that they should pull it down? Yes or no?
No, they don't need to pull it down. Should they? Yes. Do they need to? No.
If we had a kid in high school who's graduating, would we be upset about this?
No, I wouldn't be upset about it. I'm still not upset about it.
Well, of course you're not upset about it now. You don't have a kid in high school. I'm saying, like, no, if you had anybody who had a stake in this.
Okay, the advertisement has nothing to do with whether or not your child's going to go ahead and do it. Like, that's just, there are a lot of things being advertised on TV right there in your house that you don't expect your kid to do all of it. So.
Yeah, and like we said, I think that people know. I think that if they're going to get involved in stripping and exotic dancing, they already knew.
Yeah, I don't think somebody drove by who was a high school graduate and was like, yeah, you know what? That's just what I'm going to do.
I never thought about stripping before, but now that I saw the sign, I think I should do it.
I don't think that. I mean, to me, the physical building of the strip club is enough of an advertisement for somebody to, if they're going to be suggested to do that.
Then they would already.
Yeah, so I think this is just... This is probably a way for them to stir some attention, and they got it. So somebody who wasn't aware that strip club was there now knows.
Yeah, that's true, because a lot of people are talking about it online.
So I guess mission accomplished for them.
Okay.
One thing that you sent me this week was 15 surprising things that people do differently.
Yeah, so this is 15 things that ultra-productive people do differently. So obviously we're not going to go through all 15. We'll post this to our social media, but... A couple of these things I want to go through to see if you do them, if we should do them, kind of in the vein of being better. One thing that they say, they have a consistent morning ritual. Wake up early and give yourself 60 minutes for mental, physical, and spiritual health.
Are they married?
What does being married have to do with it? If you said, do they have kids?
No, I say, are they married? Because if I wake up tomorrow at 5 a.m., am I going to get 60 minutes for mental, spiritual, and physical health is the third thing they said?
Mental, spiritual, or physical health, yeah. Yeah.
Would I get 60 uninterrupted minutes?
What does that have to do with me?
I just said, would I get 60 uninterrupted minutes? The answer is yes or no. You're thinking too long. The answer is no. That's why I asked. Are they married?
If you leave the apartment, you can get as long as you want.
Oh, key points.
What I will say, I don't follow you out of this place.
Yep, all right. Good to know. So they need to amend their list.
No, so I think this is a good one. It's in the same vein as might be better. Like getting up and having some kind of morning routine that includes taking care of yourself, I think is important.
Okay.
And they're saying that'll keep you productive.
They need to put a sub bullet, and it might be helpful to leave your apartment.
Another thing that people do who are ultra successful is they don't use to-do lists. They say throw away your to-do list. Instead, schedule everything on your calendar.
I've done this before, mainly to block out other people when I have a particularly busy day. I've put everything that has to happen on the calendar. And people are like, oh my gosh, you have no time for meetings. And that's the truth.
Yeah. I mean, I do this when I find that I'm really busy and that I have a lot going on. But I think this would be kind of good to do even when you're not super busy. So if it's like, okay, I need to work on this presentation and then I need to do this call and then I need to, you know, take time to do this. If you put all that on your calendar and you give yourself an hour to finish that presentation or a half hour to write this report, then I can see how that keeps you productive. It gets things done is probably the biggest thing. It's like, if anything, even if you don't finish it in that hour, you are now, you know, much further than if you just like try to fit it in amongst with everything else.
Yeah, I think that's a good one.
Another thing that they say is they don't think about time. They focus on energy. Maximize your energy to maximize productivity. Focus on sleep, diet, exercise, and take short breaks throughout the day. And that'll keep you being more productive.
That's an interesting one because it started off and I thought it was going someplace else because a few weeks ago we did it Be Better and mine was focused on energy. Figure out what energizes you.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole idea was tied to productivity. They were saying these are the things you do well. These are the things you will do quickly in the most efficient process because you like it and you like to get it done. So if there's an opportunity to focus on that, you'll keep doing more. Sleep is a big thing. I haven't read the book, but I probably will. Ariana Huffington just made like a major platform about sleep and how important that is to guide your life. So, I mean, literally, don't sleep on sleep.
Okay.
Don't sleep on sleep.
They say this, they beat procrastination with time travel. Your future self can't be trusted. What can you do now to make sure your future self does the right thing? So kind of putting, I guess, controls in place so that you are successful in the future, not giving yourself the opportunity to fail. By keeping up and not procrastinating, you're like lessening the chance that you will have anything to procrastinate on.
I feel like that one's a mind game. Your future self can't be trusted. That's just basically saying, just do it now.
Don't procrastinate. And the last one we'll kind of go through again. We'll post all these on our social media. But the last thing they have is they only check email 3 times a day. Don't let email or social media interrupt your flow. Schedule the times to read and respond to emails. 3 times a day. Do you even think that's possible?
It is possible, but it requires
discipline.
It requires discipline. And if you work in a team-based environment, it requires a shared understanding. Because I've worked in so many environments where your team is right near you. You're not in an office. You're in a cubicle or you're in a section of a cubicle that's very accessible. So it's hard to put up the barriers to say, I'm not coming in right now to interrupt you.
Right.
And that's the problem because I feel like I work in an environment where if you don't answer an email, you can get a phone call. And I can pretty much avoid a phone call. But I cannot avoid a physical person showing up to ask me that question.
Yeah.
And I think that's the barrier. People want responses. And when they don't get responses, then they find other ways to interrupt you to get it.
But see, I think that that goes with booking your calendar. Because I think a lot of people, at least in an office setting, will check your calendar to see, like, are you in calls? Are you busy? So if your calendar is booked because you have things that you're doing, if like that could be your reason, right? If someone's like, oh, did you see me? Be like, no, I was working on that report. I haven't seen it yet. You know what I mean? Because if you're segmenting your time where you're like, this is going to be uninterrupted. You can't help the people that walk up to you, but you can definitely put your email so you don't get the pop-ups every second. Mm-hmm. Or for us in my job, we have Instant Messenger. So it has like a green if you're available and people can just like ping you, or it's red if, you know, and it blocks people from pinging you. And if you're red, then people can kind of see that you're busy. So then they understand that you might not have seen their email. So this is totally doable to me.
Yeah, I think it's a shared expectation. In my current working situation, people always want a quick response. They expect a quick response.
Yeah.
So it's almost like the allowances come on the side of, okay, it took 2 hours to get back versus that being the norm. And I think it's one thing for you to do it. It's another thing for the team to do it and have that understanding. So I could do it. There'd just be lots of, oh, I didn't see it. Oh, I didn't see it. And you'd have to, I guess, kind of set up, I think, maybe some established times that you do it. Is that you check at 9 and decide what you're going to address at 9 and then check at 12 and then check again at 3.
Right. And then at the end of the day.
And then so that's 4 times, but those are the established times.
Yeah, but that's not unreasonable, I feel like. I mean, if you're checking, I check email when I go in. and then I work, and I check email again around lunch, and then I check it again in the afternoon, and I check it again when I leave. Like, that doesn't, like, what email could have been sent, unless you know, like, we're working on a project where things are constantly changing.
Which is my life.
But if...
like, it changes all day.
Well, that's not, yeah, I guess that's true for you. It's not really the case for me, because on my teams, it's like, okay, like, this is what we're working on. Everybody has, like, their tasks. So really, like, there should be nothing, honestly, that happens that needs immediate assistance in a real right. way. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, people, of course, can call you or can walk up to you. But, like, in my job, it's like, okay, generally, like, you should know how this day is going to play out. You right. know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like because of the volume of multitasking and things that we try to do, your day is always changing. And it changes based on the next email.
Yeah.
So-and-so said X. So now we need to figure out what we're going to say to Y.
But I think, like, a part of this, not necessarily for this post, but a part of this whole thing of, like, deciding how you're going to, like, live your life at work is kind of just, like, owning your situation, right? Like, right. you have to do what works for you. If you are the type of person who gets immediately, your mind gets off track every time you see a buzz from an email, and you therefore can't focus, or it takes you a long time to refocus, then you have to set those kind of constraints for yourself, because that's the only way you can be
and
productive.
And that's everybody, because research has shown that for every time you move away from one project to address an email or do something else, it takes people on average 7 minutes
get
back into what they were originally doing. So it took me a while to understand this, working with people like designers or developers, where they don't flip like we flip. So they will work on one specific thing for a certain amount of time. Okay, I'm going to spend 2 hours on this web page. I'm going to spend 3 hours on building this backend. So if they don't have that, everything's taking them longer. So what they set aside for 3 hours may now take 5 because they've answered 10 emails in the middle.
Right.
So I've started to understand and try to adopt their styles. I mean, there's times when at work, I physically have to remove myself from my desk, go to a conference room, and then write. If that's the focus of my day.
Yeah, because sometimes you need uninterrupted time to get your work done. And it is really hard to do that in a buzzing work environment sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting because as much as people like the open floor plan
yes,
and the
everybody's
like working together and we are throwing ping pongs across the place, it's like, how are we actually like, when it comes down to like who's writing the report or who's doing the calculations, like sometimes you can't do that with a whole bunch of distractions. And I think, like I was saying, is you have to find what works for you and how you can be ultra productive by doing what works for you. The whole thing about like walking away and getting into a conference room or whatever, that's cool. And it works sometimes. But like I work with people who, when you're not at your desk, they like make a big fit about it. You know, like I've gone up, like we have a cafeteria area that's like never crowded. Mm-hmm. So I'll go up there sometimes. Like sometimes I'll just start my day up there if I need to like get something done and I don't want to be disturbed. But then by the time, so I'm working, right? But then I come back down to my desk at like 11 o'clock and then people are like, oh, I didn't realize you were going to come in. Like what's going on this morning? And you know, I hate that. So
I'm not even going to get started there.
But it's to your point about like, sometimes you just need to be away from the distractions to get something done. And I know that sometimes that doesn't translate as easily. So maybe the solution there is like communicating with whoever you have to report to by saying like, hey, I need to go step away uninterrupted. So like, I'll be back later.
The idea here, I think, is valid in really like figuring out what works for you and owning your situation.
Yep. Try to be productive this week.
Okay.
It's a short week. We can do it.
I know. And okay. It's extremely short for me because I'll be in school on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a conference on. Anyway, thinking out loud. So the last topic we have today is for sure an all things relationship one. It's this idea of a veto card.
Okay.
Do you feel like there's something that a spouse or a partner can just 100% tell the other person, you can't do this?
Yes.
That was quick.
Yes. I believe that spouses should be able to put down a veto card.
Why?
So no more discussion.
Why? I need answers. Why?
Because we are now one. Like, you can't just be doing every and anything that you want to do. No. And I can't either.
I feel like you have something specific in mind.
Like those earrings that you said you wanted. No.
I'm not getting earrings.
The scenario here is that you wanted those gouge earrings.
Gauge
earrings. See, I don't even know what they're called.
And I'm not getting them.
Right. But I was like, no, like, that is not attractive to me. Like, I do not want you to have those, for real. And I don't say that about everything, but people, so you can't have a veto on everything, right? Like, your whole relationship can't be veto, veto, veto. But certainly there has to be some instances where it's like, but for real though, like, that's a no.
What's that old En Vogue song? Free Your Mind. Come on. Anyway, you need to let go about the gauges. I'm not getting them.
Okay.
But this is, you were so quick to be like, no, they're just some things. And I'm like, I don't know if there's some things, because while you're one in the relationship, you're one unit.
Right.
But you're not one pair of ears. If that's what you want it to look like and you think it looks cool, then why not?
So let's just start physical side. Okay. So you don't think, so my answer is yes, people should have a veto card. Is your answer no?
No, my answer is no. You should not have a veto card.
So if a boyfriend or girl, let's keep it to marriage, because boyfriend and girlfriend is a little shadier or more gray. But if it's a husband and wife, and the wife says she wants to do something crazy to her, not crazy, just different to her appearance in some way, and the husband is like, no, like, I really do not like that. You're saying that the husband does not have a right to say, like, no, nah, you can't do that.
You can say you don't like it. You can't say, no, you can't.
And we're not talking about, like, little things. We're talking about something where they're like, no, but, like, you can do almost anything, but, like, this is, I really don't like.
Yeah, so if you came
in, you're
saying
there's no line.
I don't think there's a line. I think you can say what you like, what you don't like. You can give reasons. You can give, you know, perspective. But, like, if you came in here talking about, okay, I'm going to get not a faux hawk, I'm going to get a mohawk. That's how I want to look now.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you if I like it or not, but I can't tell you you can't. Or I can try to tell you you can't, but I shouldn't, like, expect that that is now law. Like, you can.
Okay.
And you might.
Okay. What about activities? Like, if...
You know my answer, like, to this is going to be no. It's all freedom, okay? Freedom, freedom, freedom.
So where does the other person's opinion come in?
No, the opinion...
Where does the other person...
The opinion will be heard, it will be thought about, it will be factored into the
so
decision.
So basically just considered.
If consideration is a lot. Consideration is very important. Consideration doesn't mean anything. Like, for example, if I decided I wanted to go skydiving in 2 weeks, like, how would you feel about that?
I would be like, no. But that to me is not something I would veto. I would just wonder.
What's it?
So I guess there's a difference, right? To me, there's a difference between someone being like, I don't like it, and someone being like, this is me putting down a veto card. So for the skydiving, I wouldn't put down a veto. But I wouldn't say not in 2 weeks. Because I want you to fully think about, like, why you're doing it. Because you're approaching 30. So I'm like, are you just doing this because you're just like, I just want to do something crazy? Because that's not a reason to do it. You need to fully think about it.
Wanting to do something crazy is 100% a reason to do it.
You need to fully think about it. And once you've thought about it and you're not just doing it because of your age, then
no,
fine.
I didn't say I was doing it because of my age. You just want to do something crazy every now and then.
But for you, if you said you want to, literally, you're turning 30 in about 2 weeks.
No.
So if 2 weeks from now you want to go skydiving, I'm going to think that it's associated with your age.
And this is why people just do things and be like, hey, this is where I am right now.
No, people don't do that. Only you.
No. People do that all the time. You're going to be at work. You're going to be in your cube. And I'm going to send you a text message and be like, I'm on the plane.
Please don't
selfie,
do that.
Selfie. Me and my tandem instructor. So
please don't do that.
Or better, yeah, I'll just send you the video. Then it's already done. There's no heartache because I'm already on the ground by the time you get it.
Well, that trust is just going to go out the window on that.
What
then,
do you mean,
right?
Trust is just going to go out the window. You always have to maintain the ability to do stuff for you.
Agreed. You have to be able to maintain the ability to do stuff for you. However.
Still, however.
I think a couple episodes ago, you were just saying how, like, we're different in a way that I kind of keep you balanced. So when you say you want to jump out of a plane, I'm the one who says, hold on, like, let's think about this. Why do we want to jump out of a plane?
But sometimes you just need to jump out of the
plane. But I would not veto that.
What would
but
you veto?
Think,
what's an activity or action you would veto?
Well, we started this by talking about physical things. So if I don't know what I would veto.
What about money?
What about money?
What if one person's like, I think we should do X. So now it's not just about the person, it's about we.
Mm-hmm.
We should get a pool. We have a house and we don't have a pool. We should get a pool. It's only going to cost $10,000. We have the money. Let's just get a pool.
Right. Somebody's going to have a veto there, right? Like, somebody's going to say no. or someone's going to say yes. And so kind of the reverse, but like saying like, this is what's going to happen. And what I'm trying to say is I think there is a dynamic in a relationship where somebody is making the decision, and that might change issue to issue, because this is perfect. We should get a pool. We have the money. We should do it. So if the answer is no, then what happened there? Somebody put down the card, right? Somebody was like, nah.
What I'm saying is the veto card becomes an issue, not because there's no discussion. This is assuming that this is something that one person wants to do, the other person doesn't want to do, but it's coming back up again. That's the only reason you
need the veto card. But see, the difference, what you were saying before was easier for the veto example, because you're saying like, this is me, my life, right, my body, my choices. The other one is like, this is us and our money and our choices. So if we kind of, if we stick to like, can anyone veto what I do in my being?
Right.
I still say yes in a marriage, but it does depend. You can't be with somebody who's constantly saying no to everything that you want to do. And that's why I think there's a little bit of discernment that happens. So if someone's like, if largely you do you and you be you, but then there's something where they're like, I really don't like it. And so like, I really don't want you to do it. And like, you can't do it. And as soon as I said you can't do it, as soon as I said you can't, that's when your face changes. But like it's all the same. If the person's like, don't do it. And again, we're not talking about somebody being unreasonable, right?
Reason is subjective.
It is subjective. So I'm just saying, like, me, I don't think I'm unreasonable. If
who
I'm
thinks
like,
they're unreasonable?
Well,
I'm not saying you're unreasonable, but who thinks I'm unreasonable? And I know that.
Some people might be self-aware.
Might.
Anyways.
Usually not.
So are you saying that there's nothing that I could do that you would be able to veto for me? You're saying basically I can do whatever I want.
No, I'm not saying you could do whatever you want. What I'm saying is...
What are you saying I can't do? Because that's a veto.
No. Well, no. The veto is not saying you can do whatever you want. The veto is saying if something's put forth, is there something you can unequivocally vote down and it means I don't do it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference.
So basically it's like, what's... So I can just do whatever.
You can't just do whatever. You can't just decide, okay, I'm going to have 3 husbands and I'm going to like decide that, you know, some days I choose to live in New Jersey and some days I choose to live in New York City.
Wow, that's a great example, James. So if I got myself an apartment in New Jersey and I was like,
happened if you just magically have an apartment in New Jersey.
Including an influx of money.
A lot has happened. And you talk about trust going out the window. Where did the money come from? Who signed the lease? When did you get this?
Listen,
how often you sleeping over there?
Don't ask me any questions. Wow. I'm doing me.
Wow. That's a whole other category. It's one thing to veto or to not veto. It's another thing to be like, don't ask me any questions.
Okay, but let's just go back to that scenario. If I was like, I'm going to live in New Jersey 2 days a week. So I'm going to go and I'll be back. So you don't think as a husband that you have a right to be like, no, you're not. This is not happening.
Right. That is vetoable.
Okay. So, vetoable. The answer to the original question posed is, can people have a veto card? The answer is yes. Now on both sides, because there are things that the other person can say no to.
That's vetoable. I think so. In that case. But even now, I'm like wrestling with my own self. I'm like, is it vetoable? Maybe I would enjoy having 2 nights just to do whatever I want. Okay. Maybe that might work too.
Maybe that's why I got my own place.
Hey, maybe you should. And with that, we're going to wrap up this episode. Thanks for listening.
Let us know your thoughts. Reach out to us on our social media. We're on Facebook at All These Things Podcast, on Twitter and Instagram at @AllThesethings. And you can email us also at allthesethingspodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to know your thoughts. What do you think about all this? Is there ever a time to have a veto in a relationship? I say yes.
I'm saying no. Going back to my original point.
All right, everybody. Well, it's a short week. Make it a good one.
All right. Bye.